Our reading this morning can be found on page 1029 at the back of the Bible. And it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 41, entitled, "The Boy Jesus in the Temple." Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast, according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, thinking he was with their company. They traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Alison and I wish and trust that you had a very blessed Christmas. And that's what we certainly prayed for you all. But I have a complaint against my wife. I'm thinking of joining the queue at Marks and Spencer and getting a refund, simply because she's always losing her glasses. And it's usually me that finds them when she goes off multitasking. But of course, the truth is, I am even worse at taking my glasses off, putting them down somewhere and forgetting where in the Wentworth Palace of Varieties they are. And so the world stands still whilst a search is made. And no doubt the same sort of thing happens in your life as well and in your house. So today we have the only Bible passage detailing anything about the boyhood of Jesus living in Nazareth, and when his parents lost him. Now, the Gospels usually spend 3/4 of the space to the last week of his life, and the balance telling of his evangelistic walking tours around Lake Galilee and into Jerusalem. So, this is the story then. Mary and Joseph were devout believers and made a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. Usually, several people from the vicinity would travel together, the women and the children in the front and the men following some distance behind. Now, isn't that true of all us men? We're always following the wife 2 steps behind. I know what Prince Philip feels like now. Life hasn't changed much. The distance from Nazareth in the north down to Jerusalem was about 120 miles, and so it took a few days walking. Each evening, the women and the children in the front and the men behind would gather together, get the barbecue out, and talk. And so a great time was had by all in the big city, and enjoying the temple worship. Anyway, on the way back, Mary thought that Jesus was with Dad, and Joseph thought that he was with Mom. And so eventually they both realized that Jesus was missing. They had lost him. Now, isn't this a perfect picture of the masses of people around us and around the world? On and on they go in life's journey, concerned about anything and everything and everybody, except the one thing that matters most, having Jesus by their side. No doubt the women were showing the length of cloth bought at Sarah's haberdashery, and the men were showing off their new chisel from Malachi's maze, so caught up with the peripherals to forget their son. Now, if Mary, the mother, could lose Jesus, then we must all face up to the possibility of losing God ourselves. So I've got a couple of headings, and the first one is this. Think of the place where Jesus was lost. Now, isn't it true that the parents never took their eyes off Jesus as they received special visitors of shepherds and wise men, and there at the place of birth? And then in the temple, when Simeon and Anna spoke their prophecies, and when the young family escaped down to Egypt to become refugees. You know, it is possible to lose Jesus surrounded by religion. We can lose the sense of Christ's presence in church, in conferences and large gatherings, whenever we're participating with God's people. It is possible to find ourselves drifting spiritually. Those days of being acutely aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, thrilling us with Jesus and his saving power and his healing power, we sometimes need to capture again the experience of that desperate woman with a serious medical condition. And she crawled through the crowd to touch Jesus' hem of his garment. She was desperate. And then about the centurion caring for his slaves and the members of his family who ran urgently to plead with Jesus about his servant who had become paralyzed. He wanted to get close. He knew about Jesus. And then what about those disciples, fearing for their lives as waves came over the side of the boat, and they woke Jesus shouting, "Jesus, save us!" And this can be us. And we perhaps sometimes need to recapture that initial thrill of being close to Jesus and getting caught up in the Spirit and thinking that this is just so wonderful, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for illuminating my heart and my life with the thrill of salvation, basking in your love and your healing power. It's possible to drift spiritually and to lose that closeness with God in Jesus Christ. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? So think of the place where they lost Jesus. And then secondly, here's some reasons why people do lose Jesus. First, they had seen him a little time ago. They'd had breakfast together before starting on the journey north. But the truth is, yesterday's blessing of Jesus' presence is a day too late for today. Secondly, they had made the journey for years, and nothing like this had happened before. They presumed that everything would continue as normal. Do you remember me saying a few days ago when we were discussing Zechariah, God blesses us only in proportion to today's spirituality. Life is not predictable. Every day is different. And as the old Methodist poster says, seven prayer-less days make one week. W-E-A-K. They'd seen him a little time ago. They'd made this journey for years and nothing like this had happened before. And thirdly, they were taking Jesus for granted. They thought that God was predictable. Now, if you take the gospel seriously and just see how unpredictable Jesus is, he calls Herod a fox. He calls the religious leaders of the day the nest of vipers. And one day all of mankind throughout all ages will be separated into sheep and goats. Sometimes we don't like that bit and tend not to dwell on it too much. They were taking Jesus for granted. Some reasons why people lose Jesus. And then thirdly, to rediscover Jesus, you have to return to where you were last with him. Every year, businesses do a stock take to see that present stock on the shelves matches the computer readout. We've got this many thingabobs on the shelf, but the computer says we ought to have this many. And just sometimes, perhaps today or in the next few days, perhaps we can have a spiritual stock take and just see how what is printed here matches in our experience today. A spiritual stock take. So the parents retraced their steps looking for the boy Jesus. They looked everywhere and found him where they ought to have gone in the first place. They knew who he was, that he was a special child. And they knew how much he loved the temple and the teachers and the services. Is this you? As the psalmist sings, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? When did you and me have that sweet encounter with God in Christ? Where was it? Have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit lifting you up and to see Jesus in all his glory and his might and his majesty and power and his mystery? Is Jesus reigning in our hearts? Or sometimes are we like those wretched church members in Laodicea who were neither hot nor cold, and it is said that God spat them out of his mouth? Oh, goodness. Don't let that happen to us here at St. Andrew's. Now, if you have somehow lost that close companionship with Jesus, seek him again and ask him to restore the years that the locusts have eaten from Joel. But listen up. Jesus is not hiding. Time and time again, the Bible says that it is Jesus who is looking for us. He is the good shepherd, seeking the lost. And like Nathanael, Jesus sees him when Nathanael could not see Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to see thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. And just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. To rediscover Jesus, you have to return to where you were last with him. Once, when on holiday and driving through the Arizonian desert, we came across a little chapel in the middle of nowhere, miles from anywhere. So we stopped and attended the midweek evening service. People, mostly indigenous Indians, seemed to come from nowhere. But it was interesting that when they arrived, they immediately went to the front of the church and knelt on their mercy seat. They were preparing their hearts and their minds to meet with Jesus in worship. Perhaps we need to do something similar by being quiet and preparing our hearts to meet with Jesus when we arrive for the service. I've been privileged to be the minister at Great Yarmouth Methodist Church in past years, quite a few times. And it's interesting that 5 minutes before the service starts, the elders of the church come in and they're carrying a Bible. And they place it on the communion table. And that's a sign for the whole congregation to hush, to silently pray and prepare their hearts and minds to meet with Jesus and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to thrill them and to lift them up into the heavens, and to see the glories of Jesus in all his might and his majesty and his power and authority and healing power, so that at the end they could all go at the end of the service and say, it was good to be here for Jesus' sake. Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat, and where they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. The boy Jesus said this to his parents. He says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? What a searching question from a young boy to his parents. And this is the picture of the Good Shepherd. This is the picture of God throughout the centuries coming down to his people, seeking and saving those who are lost. Jesus isn't hiding. He's looking for you. Sometimes it is us who gets lost. And so why not let Jesus find you all over again and rediscover the sheer excitement and the thrill of worshipping together, of reading his word and being lifted up in heart and mind. And that wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding for us even now. Heavenly Father, Mary and George and John and so on, they're praying about this, that and the other. And dear Christine Butler in hospital, and those that Francis and I have had the privilege of ministering to as bereaved people, and so on, and people that you know. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for them that they might receive your grace and your favor and your love. Jesus isn't hiding. He is looking for you. Sometimes it is us who get lost. And so why not let Jesus find you all over again? Amen. Now, once more, I've printed my sermons out. I've been doing it for decades, and I'll give you one as you leave this morning. Take it home, read it after you've had a drinky-poo, and then pass it on to a friend. And who knows, cast your bread upon the waters, and it shall be returned after many days. Now, where did I put my glasses?